Welcome to Cinema Crespodiso, our second episode ever. Pretty sweet. I am your host, Christopher Crespo, film critic, writer, jack of all trades. You can get me at find me at Twitter at Movie Examiner. That's my main Twitter. Or the show is at Crespodiso, and at Antihero419 is my host, Drewster Cogburn. How's it going, Drew?
How's it going, Chris?
Doing good. Doing good, dude. Another week has come and gone.
Yes, it has. It was a very fast week.
I got some good word of mouth on the first episode. Things have gone pretty well.
Yes, it's what I hear.
People like you. People like you, dude.
That's what I'm quite surprised. It's
no, don't be surprised.
I mean, it's new to me. How about that? I'm not used to putting myself out there. I'm normally you know, a pretty stay to myself kind
of
guy.
Hey, so it's new to all of us, man. So. New, this whole podcasting, this podcastual endeavor is new to all of us.
It is. It's uncharted waters.
I just want to say at the top of the show, while you can get us right now at aircheck.us, I'm working on getting us available on all sorts of places. I'm going to get us on iTunes soon, Drew. To get that started, I'm getting my own website going. That's going to be www.crescrespo.com.
Yes, Chris Crespo.
www.chriscrespo.com. CHRISCRESPO. Pretty simple. Traditional spelling of both. Have that up soon. You'll be able to get reviews, all my reviews, links to all the episodes, Netflix pick of the week, so all that cool stuff, plus other blog type endeavors.
And all sorts of other strange oddness, I'm sure, eventually.
Yeah, so depending on whenever you hear this episode, it might be live already. So go ahead and check it out. ChrisCrespo.com pretty soon. Coming to an internet near you. Internet's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird how that starts. All right, well, let's go ahead and I'm going to run down what we're doing real quick. We got the box office review. Mm-hmm. Right, we're going to go over the top five. Got a couple movie reviews in there for you people. Then there's the new movies coming out on DVD on Tuesday, and the new movies in theaters on Friday. And after that, we go into the Crespo Dome. This week, Crespo Dome, a preview of the films of 2013. Got a lot of them, too, so it's going to be pretty epic.
It's going to be a good year for movies.
It looks that way on the outset. We'll see. We will see. But to start, we're going to start off with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Here we go. Every week I'm going to have a new pick for you from the Netflix Instant Watch Library. They have something like 15,000 movies available.
That's quite impressive.
It's ridiculous. A lot of them are older films, you know, because you got to get them on the cheap. So
yeah,
we're talking about older movies, foreign films, indie films, a lot of direct-to-video stuff. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. There's a lot of crap on there.
There is.
So I'm trying to steer people away from the crap, and they just put a movie that was on before. They took it down. Netflix does that. They put something back on. I'm pointing it out to everyone. It's my pick this week. Drew, you know this film. It's a movie called Primer.
Oh, Primer is a good one. That is definitely one of my favorite. Most favorite science fiction movies?
Yes, yes. It's definitely a sci-fi. It's got time travel. It's mm-hmm. about time travel.
Yeah.
About a couple of software engineers who accidentally... Well, they also do hardware stuff, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And they accidentally make a time machine.
Where they can travel back in time, what, something like 24 hours?
I don't think the parameters are that tight, but it's weird. Like, the rules that they came up with in this movie and... it gets really crazy and complex. It's only 77 minutes, which is super fast.
Super short.
Which means when it's over, you can go ahead and restart it and watch it again.
Yeah, might as well.
Because you're going to want to. You're going to want to. It was made for like $7,000. Mm-hmm. Most of that was spent on film stock. But still, it's incredible. It's an awesome movie. It's from 2004, PG-13. So, you know, it's okay for the whole family.
Good for the fam.
Primer. That's my Netflix instant pick of the week, Drew. Seconds that one.
Yes, 100%. You should watch it as fast as you possibly can.
So there you go. That's a pick of the week. And now we're going to go into the box office top five. This is Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. So not all of the actual numbers are out there yet. They won't be out until Monday, maybe Tuesday. We record on a Sunday. But we'll make by with what we got, the information we got. Drew, go ahead and give us the number five movie of the weekend.
All right. The number five movie of the weekend was Broken City with $8.9
million. $8.9
million.
On a budget of $35 million.
Okay, well.
So $8.9 million is not too bad.
They got some work to go.
They didn't want to open at five. That's for sure. This is the Mark Wahlberg, Russell Crowe, Catherine Zeta-Jones movie. Directed by one half of the Hughes brothers, the guys who did Menace to Society and The Book of Eli.
Yeah, oh, I love that movie.
Good movie. Good movie. This one is okay. I saw it.
Yeah.
What it's about. It's like Wahlberg plays a New York police detective who something happens in the beginning of the movie, so he has to become a private eye, go to the private sector. 7 years later, the mayor, Russell Crowe, hires him to photograph his wife meeting up with someone illicitly. And then it turns out to be a much bigger story than what he anticipated. And it's, you know, actually it wasn't bad. You know, I enjoyed it. It was entertaining. It's not something I'd run out.
I mean, what kind of movie was it? Was it more of a thriller or more of a drama?
It's kind of like a 70s. This is what I liked about it. It's kind of like a 70s thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, don't really want to say The Sting, but... It's a type of movie where it's all about the characters and like you're given a plot and then each character turns out to know more than they lead on initially. And Mark Wahlberg's character is just going further and further down the rabbit hole with all the information. Yeah, it's kind of like a Sidney LeMay or even Sidney Pollack type of deal, but, you know, a little more modern. And all shot in New York City, so it looks awesome.
Nice.
You know, a lot of shots at the Brooklyn Bridge. I'd say it's, you know, like I wouldn't say go out and see it in theaters. Maybe Redbox.
Redbox it.
It's definitely worth Redboxing.
You wouldn't even get it on the in-demand?
I think the Redbox is...
Okay.
Yeah, because the in-demand is like $6.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And that's what I paid for Matinee. So yeah, I wouldn't even say it's worth... I mean...
It's not worth the $6.
Yeah, it's somewhere between Redbox and $6 on demand. I would definitely lean towards Redbox.
Okay.
On that one. It's good enough. It's good enough. I thought it was all right. Go ahead and give us the number four movie.
The number four movie of the week was Gangster Squad with $9.0 million.
And Broken City, $8.99 million. I mean, practically interchangeable at this point.
Yeah, just a few thousand dollars in between them, probably.
Gangster Squad, budget of $60 million. I think it's around, a total right now, around 30, in the mid-30s. So not doing too hot.
I don't think it's going to make its money back.
It'll break even. It depends on what it does internationally. That's up in the air, though, because Ryan Gosling, Josh Brolin, none of these guys are international stars.
It's a shame, though, because they're quite good actors.
They're all good actors, and it's a decent movie. I don't know. It's not that good, though. It's not like I'm lamenting that it's not doing so well.
It could have been better.
I like the same guy who did Zombieland and 30 Minutes or Less. I like both of those movies more than I liked Gangster Squad.
Okay.
You know, if that says anything.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and do the number three movie of the weekend.
All right, number three movie of the week was Silver Linings Playbook with $11.4 million.
All right, now that's interesting because this movie I saw back in late November, I think. Maybe early December is when it came out. It played over here at Winter Park Village.
Yes.
Right? In limited release. It was the only place it was playing in town. At that point, it was in like 300 theaters. After the nominations and everything, this weekend they put it in like 2,000
more theaters.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, it is very Oscar heavy.
It is, and you know, a lot of Bradley Cooper is nominated. I think Jennifer Lawrence is nominated. David O. Russell is nominated for Best Director.
I knew that.
And the movie itself for Best Picture. Yeah, it's definitely a strong Oscar contender this year. So you know. To go with that, they finally, the Weinstein Company, I believe they're the ones behind it, they finally put it out in a ton of theaters, $11.4 million this weekend. That's good. Only has a budget of $21 million. I think it's around, I checked earlier, I think it might be around 20 or 30 already in total.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's doing pretty good.
Well, at least it made its money back.
And it's, you know, for a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Might even be making more than that, so. And, you know, I liked it when it came out. I think it's good. I don't know if it's best picture of the year stuff.
I mean, I haven't seen it. I'm a fan of Bradley Cooper, so.
The problem with it is that Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence both play very annoying characters. They're very, they're crazy, you know, and then the movie's kind of, we're having fun with bipolar characters, you know, like, I don't know. It's not too much fun to spend that much time with bipolar people in the fit of, like, their bipolarisms, you know, being crazy all the time. It's like, at one point, the cops get called to Bradley Cooper's family's house because they're screaming so much, because they're being so loud. Mm-hmm. That's how much screaming and yelling is in this movie.
Oh, wow.
But it's good. That shows how good David O. Russell is. That'll make a movie about such annoying people.
David O. Russell is quite the accomplished director.
I think I Heart Huckabees is still my favorite O. Russell joint.
It's in my top five movies of all time.
Oh, is it really? Wow, yeah.
It really is.
I mean,
it had that much of an effect on me.
He did that. He did Three Kings, Flirting with Disaster might be my favorite Ben Stiller movie.
Yeah,
you know, which is Ben Stiller.
Zoolander's grown on me as the time has gone by.
That's a fantastic film. Very underrated. Very underrated. All right, well, let's see. We got a little sidetrack. Let's go into the number two movie.
Number two weekend. Movie of the week was Zero Dark Thirty with $17.7 million.
That's on a budget of $40 million. I think that puts it, after last weekend, that puts it around $50, $55
million. Well, there we go. We're in the green.
Yep, and it's going to do... Well, actually, I don't know how it's going to do internationally. That's an interesting question.
You know, that is...
Such an American film as this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like everyone else isn't going to be interested in the story.
Yeah, or how it's made the approach.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like a view of America. Like, this is how America views what happened to themselves.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just affirming a lot of what they feel are our own human rights violations. Mm-hmm. We're dogging Russia for their human rights stuff, and we're always on China's butt.
Of course.
But then we do this shit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're waterboarding, and we get some information out of it. Some of it was good. A lot of it was bad. So what? The moral ambiguity of the film is very, very interesting, you know. And actually, you know, they had this whole controversy, right? People are hating on it, I think unjustly, for saying that it's pro-torture.
Yeah.
Catherine Bigelow, the director, she put out a letter. She wrote a letter, and it was published in the LA Times, or the LA Weekly, LA Times. And it was a response to...
everything that people were saying.
To everything, how she felt it would be disingenuous to not put the torture in the movie, and that would be a lie itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she made a lot of very good points, and she said it's not pro-torture, it's also not anti-torture, it's just...
This is what happened.
This is the information we were given, and we're presenting it in this way.
As so, yeah.
So it's a pretty interesting little letter. I think it's worth... just do a Google search, Catherine Bigelow letter, open letter. It's definitely worth a read. And the number one movie of the weekend.
Number one movie of the weekend was Mama with $27.9 million.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it made almost double the amount of the number two movie this week.
And has a budget of $15 million, as most horror films are pretty cheap.
Yeah, well, it's already double its money.
So that's, you know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good for them. Also, Jessica Chastain in the number one and number two
this week.
She was number one last week, number one, number two this week. So it's Jessica Chastain domination weekend.
Yes, it is.
This chick's come out of nowhere, man.
Yeah.
You know, last year she was in like seven movies. The Help, Tree of Life.
Lawless.
The Debt. Which one?
Lawless.
Lawless, right? Lawless. Take Shelter. Ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right. She wasn't Take Shelter.
A lot of very good movies. All of them she's very good in. So, no. Zero Dark Thirty, she's very good. I didn't see Mama.
Yeah.
PG-13 horror, not my thing. It's going to take a lot for me to go out and see a PG-13 horror film. Then the reviews for this one were not good enough for me to break that trend, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll check it out eventually.
The rest of the world disagreed with you, sir.
Well, that's fine. Horror plays well in the winter months. You know, that's why they release it. Mm-hmm. We went through the top five. We know what was not in the top five.
The only movie I saw this week.
Where do you see that on the list, everybody?
That is number 10.
Get out of here.
Yes.
All right, so how much did that movie make?
It was The Last Stand, and it made $6.3 million.
No, and it's a number 10 movie on the list. Number 10
movie on the list.
That's, what the hell?
And, well, I mean, it's Arnold. He is old.
And old it was, Arnold. It's his first big movie back.
And it was very evident in this film.
It is evident in this film.
I mean, it was, there was some fun action, and it was well enough.
Right.
Johnny Knoxville was some nice comedic relief.
I was dreading the Knoxville, but he wasn't bad.
No, he wasn't
in it very much.
Well, no, he was. I think that's a good thing.
But he wasn't as obnoxious as I thought.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just got hurt a lot, which is what he's good at.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah.
Do his own stunts.
Exactly.
How much did it make again?
6.3.
Oh, Arnold, buddy. Yeah. Ooh, that's brutal. It's an R-rated film.
Yes, it is.
In January, an R-rated action movie with the returning Arnold, aging Arnold. So that, I guess maybe that it was a tougher sell.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's a good movie, though.
It was a fun action movie. I mean, there are people getting cut in half and
right with mini gums.
People exploding.
Yes. So, it was body parts landing on other people.
Uh-huh.
It took a little while to get to some of that stuff.
I mean, Luis Guzman has a freaking Tommy gun in the movie.
I love Tommy gunning in movies, and Luis Guzman totally Tommy gunned it up.
Yep.
It's kind of weird how it takes a while to get to some of the violent stuff, but then once it kicks in, it's like, whoa.
Well, once it kicks in, it's there for the rest of the movie.
Yes, it is. And there's a awkward mix of digital blood and digital gunshots and what looked to be some real practical effects.
Yeah, like definitely.
Actual sprays in the air and, you know, stuff you can actually photograph and light. So that was, I always find that a little distracting when you go the digital route, but it's still, I mean, it's hard to cut a person in half with practical effects with a minigun.
Yes.
So I understand some of the digital work. Some of it makes sense. I enjoyed it. I would say on our scale of rating films that we've stumbled across in, which I actually kind of like quite a bit.
Yeah.
I would say it's an on demand worthy on demand, like $6 HD on demand, or seen in a matinee.
Yeah. I would definitely see a matinee or rented on demand.
Yeah, I wouldn't go see like on a Friday night, fight the crowds, and pay top dollar for it.
No.
But it's fun.
It's definitely worth seeing.
I thought so. I thought it was entertaining. So wow, number 10. Oof.
Yeah.
Arnold. Sorry, buddy.
Rough.
We were there for you.
I supported him.
I'm still a fan. Despite all the craziness that's gone on in his life in the last few years, I'm still a fan. All right. Well, let's see your box office review. We did reviews of Broken City and The Last Stand. Let's go on and look at the new movies coming out this week. What do you got there, Drew? You got the ones in theaters, right?
Yeah.
All right, let me go over what's come out on DVD this Tuesday. The End of Watch, the Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael Pena.
Can't wait to see that. Missed that in theaters.
That one's a good one. I think that made my most surprising of 2012 list last week.
Yep.
Searching for a Sugar Man, which is kind of hard to say because it's not Sugar Man one word, it's Sugar Man two words, and it's a documentary. I get this, Drew. It's a documentary about a guy who, in the 60s, he recorded a couple of albums, and in America, they went nowhere, and then he just went back to being a construction worker. Some dude who went by the name of, like, Rodriguez or Fernandez or, like, one Spanish name.
Yeah.
Totally went nowhere in America. His album somehow got to South Africa, and he became huge. Like people loved him and loved his music. He was, like, the Elvis Presley of South Africa, but he had no idea. You didn't know about the success because it's the 60s and 70s. There's no Twitter. We're at Crespo Diso on Twitter. Follow us there. So what happens is they make a documentary. Some guys hear that this guy is dead and they want to find out about him. So they put a documentary together, searching for Sugar Man, looking for this dude. They go to America. They find him. They let him know about his success. And it's supposed to be a fantastic, fantastic documentary.
It sounds very interesting.
So that's on DVD this Tuesday, that End of Watch. The Paperboy is the movie where Nicole Kidman pees on Zac Efron on the beach.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
From the director of Precious.
Nice.
And the film Shadowboxer. Do you know that one? That's the one where Helen Mirren and Cuba Gooding Jr. play assassins and lovers.
I keep seeing that on the Netflix, and I can't bring myself to watch it.
It's a weird movie, dude.
Because Cuba Gooding Jr. looks really strange on the cover.
It's just weird. don't even, it's beyond the cover. It's weird. Another great documentary comes out on Tuesday. Well, supposedly great. I haven't seen it. Great word of mouth. It's called Imposter. And it's a film about some like 13-year-old kid goes missing. And 6 months later, someone in France says like, oh, I'm the kid. And they fly him back to America. And he shows up and he looks totally different. Like the kid that went missing, some blonde haired, blue eyed kid. The one that shows up with some like dark haired, brown eyed kid. But the family's like, okay, yeah, this is our son. And they take him in. And then, and I mean, the movie is called Imposter. So yeah, you know where that one's going.
You know he's an imposter.
So that one's supposed to be very, very good.
Oh, wow.
So that's on Tuesday. And finally, Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning, which I believe is the fifth.
Another Universal. Yes. Are any of them still in these movies?
Dolph Lundgren and Jean-Claude Van Damme have small roles in both this one and the last one, the fourth one that came out.
I can't believe they're still doing this Universal Soldier nonsense.
Apparently, the Universal Soldier movies to gain new life in direct-to-video world. The fourth one and the fifth one, they're both directed by the same dude, this guy John Hyams, H-Y-A-M-S, I think I'm saying that right. And they're both like, the fourth one is a crazy action movie. The fifth one is kind of a horror action film. Like, they changed it up a little bit. People really, really like them. They're actually very well reviewed.
Yeah.
Apparently, the best action movies being made these days are all direct-to-video, because those are ones that look old school, where the camera's not moving and you can see everything that's happening. And these Universal Soldier movies fall right in line with that. So this comes out on Tuesday.
And I'm sure they're all done on the super cheap in Eastern Europe.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Always in murky European photography,
like
dude.
Like I said.
Every Steven Seagal movie these days, they're all in like the Czech Republic somewhere.
Yep. Well, it's cheap to make movies there.
Yeah, it is. It is. So those are your movies on DVD. Go ahead and start with the films coming out in theaters on Friday.
All right. Coming out this Friday, we have Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, starring Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterton.
That looks awful.
It does look horrible, you know, but it looks so silly that I can't wait for it to come out on HBO. Yeah. I am a bit of a fan of that, the Gemma Arterton. She is very attractive.
She is attractive.
She was Io in the first Titans movie.
Right, right. She's popped up here and there.
Yeah, yeah. Super cute.
Her name's hard to... Gemma Arterton?
Gemma Arterton.
Arterton?
I believe. I'm probably pronouncing that completely wrong.
What kind of name is Gemma? Gemma?
No idea.
Either way.
It's probably European.
So silly. It just looks awful. I think this was one, too, that was made a while ago, and they kept pushing back the release date, and now they're dumping it in January. This is a dump.
You know, seriously, I think it would have been better for Mr. Renner's career if this had come out earlier.
Before Born Lugosi and the Avengers.
Exactly, because now it's like he's taking a step back.
Yeah, it seems that way.
He's in a B-action movie.
It's like
now.
The same thing happened to Jamie Foxx, where he did that movie Stealth.
Yeah. And, oh, God, what an abortion of a movie that was.
And he did that movie before Ray.
Uh-huh.
But Ray came out first, so then they're like, oh, he's mega popular now. He's an Oscar winner. Here we go, Stealth, starring Oscar winner Jamie Foxx, who dies like 30 minutes
terrible,
into the movie.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible, horrible film.
It is.
He was probably so pissed about that.
He had to be.
Nothing to do about it, though. All right, what else is coming out?
All right, also coming out this week, Parker, starring Jason Statham and Jennifer Lopez.
Did you see this trailer?
Yes, definitely saw the trailer. It looks like another one of these transporter whatever movies.
Another Jason Statham movie.
It's Jason Statham. Someone screwed him over. He is going to get them all back and bang a hot girl in the process. All
right, now a little backstory on the Parker character, because this is a, I don't want to say a literary character, but there are a series of books about a character whose name is Parker. And it's all kind of like the same type of deal where he's a badass. People keep trying to screw him over.
Yeah.
He gets revenge. Obviously. There's been a few movies based on Parker books that where a lot has been changed.
Maybe Payback, Mel Gibson?
Payback is absolutely.
Oh, I knew it.
Absolutely.
When I saw the trailer for this, I'm sitting here going,
this is Payback.
Didn't they already do Payback with Mel Gibson? Movie was awesome.
It's like a thief who's wrong with other bad guys. Yep. They screw him over, and then he goes back for revenge. Payback is absolutely based on a Parker. And this movie with Lee Marvin, Point Blank. Yes, with Lee Marvin back in the 60s is a Parker-based book. And the most popular Parker-based novel And the one that probably got changed the most when they made it from book to movie would be Die Hard. Because they changed it so much, they even changed Parker's name to John McClane. You know, that's how. But it's the basis for it.
But
they changed. They changed a lot. But there's a book, a Parker book, that's based on a novel based on a very genre book.
Yeah.
About a terrorist thieves that take over a high rise, and he's in there.
But they screw him over instead of him being a cop.
No, I think I think he's just in the building. I haven't read the book.
And a badass.
But it's loosely based on that.
Interesting. That is quite odd.
So, but this is the first time
they're calling him Parker.
They're calling him Parker.
But you know what? I almost want to say in Payback that his name might have been Parker.
It might have been. You got the IMDb there. You can.
I do have the IMDb. We'll get to that a little bit later.
All right, or someone can email us at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. I'm sure someone will let us know.
Yeah.
All right. So what else is coming out?
Also coming out this weekend, we have Movie 43, starring Emma Stone,
oh my God,
Stephen Merchant, Richard Gere, Liv Schreiber, and the list goes on and on and on.
Kate Winslet Halle Berry.
Do you want to know who the directors are? Because good Lord, are there a lot of them?
There are a lot of them. There's only a handful that are actually named people. Elizabeth Banks, I believe.
Yeah, Elizabeth Banks. Peter Farrelly.
Of the Farrelly Brothers.
Brent Ratner.
Oh, the rat.
That's all I. The only ones.
It's
oh,
a lot.
Oh,
of,
Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk. He's gonna do one. But outside of that, there's a lot of hacky directors. The guy that's running the whole thing. Apparently, he's made 42 movies, and this is his 43rd.
Well, it looks like a giant hunk of garbage.
It looks ridiculous. It's a comedy anthology.
Exactly. It looks like a bunch of short films with these big time stars just doing dirty jokes.
Question: Christopher Mintz-Plasse, however you say his name,
yeah,
super bad, kick ass.
Yeah.
When's he gonna stop playing a high school kid? The dude's gotta be like 35 years old by now.
Well, I mean, if he still looks like a high school kid, they're gonna keep making him the high school kid.
He's got that young man's face disease where he's perpetually young looking. I guess.
Yeah.
He looks like he plays like a 14-year-old. He's not even sure what to do when a chick has a period in this movie. He's all crazy about it. I don't know.
It looks silly.
It looks a little soul-crushing. What's the next film coming out this week?
And the last... Well, I guess not the last movie coming out this week.
Well, the last one in wide release.
But the only one in wide release is John Dies at the End, starring Paul Giamatti.
Yes, Paul Giamatti is pretty much the only name guy in it. He's got a kind of a smaller supporting role.
Yeah.
I saw John Dies at the End at the Florida Film Fest 2012.
Night. So that was a while ago.
That was April 2012. Was a while ago. But they just put it out on demand a couple months ago, like pre-theater, and now it's coming out this weekend. Very weird movie. It's based on a novel that itself was based on a web series. Some dude was writing, just making up a crazy web series as he went along. That got turned into a novel, and that itself becomes John Dies at the End.
That's really strange.
It's about some there's like some drug that it's called soy sauce because of the consistency of it.
Okay.
And people take it, and it's supposed to heighten a lot of their effects and their senses, and it even makes them kind of telepathic a little bit.
Ooh.
Sort of. But it also opens up a dimension to another world where they see like monsters and stuff, and they can't stop it. It's pretty crazy.
Awesome.
What this drug does.
I am really interested in seeing this movie.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. It gets really, really off the wall. It's a really low budget movie for what they try to do, but they still pull off a lot of it. Don Coscarelli is the director. He's the guy that did the Phantasm films. And Bubba Hotep is...
I love that movie.
Yeah,
it is so fantastic.
So he's a very interesting director. I think he did a great job with this film. I'm a big fan of it, so I would recommend seeing it for sure.
Can I read the synopsis? Because it's quite funny.
Yeah, go for it.
The synopsis of John Dies at the End. A new street drug that sends its users across time and dimensions has one drawback. Some people return as no longer human. Can two college dropouts save humankind from this silent otherworldly invasion? That's it.
Silent. Does it say silent otherworldly?
Yes, silent.
That's funny. It's great. I think it's a great movie. It's a lot of fun. Definitely worth checking out. So, there you go. All right, those are your new movies for this week. We're gonna take a quick break here. I gotta refill my drink. This week's show is powered by Chimay Grand Reserve, or yes, as you say in France,
the Grand Reserve.
The Grand Reserve. It's quite delicious.
By the Trappist monks, the Père Trappiste, as the French would say.
Yes, those friends, or the Belgians.
Yeah, well, they speak French.
And that's where it's made in Belgium. Chimay, delicious beer. Go ahead, Chimay. Go ahead and sponsor us. I know you want to.
Oh, that please
was
do.
That was an amazing commercial for you guys. So before we come back for the Crespo Dome, we're going to go into the Crespo Disco. We're going to play a little track for you guys. I'm sticking with the movie things for now. If you are a musician or you're in a band, you like your music featured on our show, get in touch with us. You can tweet us, Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Email cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. Just put something like music in the subject or whatever so it stands out. And we'll play your stuff during the Crespo Disco, and people will hear it, and it'll be fun. But for this week, I got a certain track picked out.
And what is it?
We can always use a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of good feelings. So what's more inspirational than Rocky?
Oh, nice.
Gonna Fly Now, the main theme from the Rocky soundtrack. Exactly. Written by Bill Conti, who's a legendary film composer, sung by the Etta Little and Nelson Pigford. Pigford, great name.
Yes, it is.
Pigford. Gonna Fly Now. Enjoy, guys. The song is great. Do some pull-ups, do some push-ups. Feel the burn. Refresh your own drink. We'll be right back for the Crespo Dome. Thanks a lot, guys. And we're back. Welcome back to Cinema Crespo Diso. I hope you enjoyed that little bit from the Rocky soundtrack. Drew, did you enjoy that track?
Of course I did. It's awesome.
Do you feel inspired now?
I do. I am inspired. I'm ready to run up some steps and eventually get a statue erected of me at the top of the steps.
All right, so you run up those steps and get that statue. I'm gonna get a hot dog or something in the meantime. Because that's not my style. But what is my style is stepping into the Crespo Dome.
Do, do, do.
Here we go. So we're going to the Crespo Dome this week where anything can happen.
Absolutely anything.
And we are going to do a review, a preview, so to speak, of the films of 2013. I sent you some 2013 stuff. Did you take a look at that?
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah. I took a look up a top 15 list and all those trailers you sent me. All
right. Yeah. I mean, it looks like a pretty... What do you think so far? Without getting into the movies, what do you think of 2013 so far? How do you think it's going
to
shape up?
So far, 2013 is looking to shape up pretty well.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you said you had 50-some-odd movies we're about to be talking about. I've got maybe like 20 in front of me, so that, there's 30 that I don't even know about.
Yep. So, but before we get into that, we do have someone did submit a question to the show in the Crespo Dome.
Very nice.
This is when we answer any questions. If you have a question for the show, you can send it to cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com, and we'll read your question and we'll answer it. So the question we got one for this one for episode two. The question is, who's the black private dick that's a sex machine for all the chicks? Thanks, Billy D. Thank you, Billy, for the question.
Thank you very much.
Drew, any idea, any input on who this black private dick that's a sex machine for all the chicks? Who this air person might be?
I believe it is Shaft.
I can dig it. I can dig it. Yes, it is Shaft. It is Shaft.
Pretty sure.
I think you knew that, Billy. I think you knew that. Not sure what you're trying to get at.
I think he just wanted us to say
you just want to say that. Say that?
Yeah.
We said it, dude. I hope you're happy. did you know Quentin Tarantino, in writing Django Unchained, the characters of Django and his wife, Brunhilde von Schaft,
mm-hmm.
Are meant to be the great-great-great-grandparents of John Schaft?
That is awesome.
Yeah. So
I dig.
Django Unchained is essentially a Schaft super prequel.
Yeah.
Without people even knowing it.
It's awesome.
Brunhilde von Schaft.
I like the movie even more now.
So, if you have a question for the show... good one, bad one, indifferent, or I don't care. cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. We'll read them and answer them. All right, let's get into this preview of 2013. Like you said, Drew, I have 50 movies for the year.
That's a lot. That's almost a movie a week, and then you get to take 2 weeks off.
I wasn't even expecting there to be that many movies to talk about this early. But you ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
We're gonna start chronologically with the ones that actually have release dates.
All right.
I did get this from IMDb.com, so if there's anything that's incorrect, blame IMDb, which is the Wikipedia of movie sites. People don't realize that, but it is. In good ways and bad. February, because, January is pretty much over.
Yeah.
We already talked about Parker and all that.
Yes.
February movies. Ones that I'm looking forward to, we got Bullet to the Head, comes out February 1st. That's the... Sylvester Stallone. He's an assassin.
He's old assassin with tattoo. What is with Sylvester Stallone in the old old man with tattoos?
You pointed this out last week that recently he's been into characters that have elaborate tattoos.
Yes, I think it's quite strange, especially because his skin is sagging and old.
He is an old. He's got old guy skin
with a little bit
of HGH.
It really doesn't look attractive at all.
Maybe he's just trying to cover. Maybe he's trying to cover up the skin, but then he's just drawing more attention to it.
Yeah.
You should just go to Rambo route and just wear a shirt all the time.
Agreed.
I'm looking forward to this movie because I do like Stallone.
I know you're a big fan of those
80s action
stars.
Those guys are still, big action heroes to me. Absolutely. Nostalgic for that stuff. But it's also directed by Walter Hill. Walter Hill, he did back in the 70s. He was a huge deal. He did The Warriors. He did Streets of Fire with a crazy young Willem Dafoe. He did 48 Hours, both the 48 Hours films. So he did a lot of crazy movies that were mostly movies about manly people, manly guys doing manly things. Southern Comfort is a movie about a bunch of Army reservists on an exercise, and they get ambushed by a bunch of Cajun hillbillies.
Oh, nice.
That's a crazy, crazy movie with Powers Booth and David Carradine. Keith Carradine. I knew it was one of them. And he hasn't made a movie since Undisputed, back in 2000. The Wesley Snipes fights Vin Rames, boxes Vin Rames in a prison movie.
Yeah.
Which they made like two or three sequels to, direct-to-video sequels. So that's coming out. It's Walter Hill, director of The Warriors. He's an old dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's making a movie.
I get it.
An action movie.
I'm still not sold.
Okay. The following week on the 8th is Side Effects. That's a Steven Soderbergh movie, the one with Channing Tatum and Rooney Mara.
Yes, and that looks really interesting.
It's like a pharmaceutical thriller.
Of sorts. It's, I don't even know. I mean, yeah, that's going on, but I guarantee you there's some deeper nonsense that is...
something going on.
Yeah. It looks really creepy.
Catherine Zeta-Jones. Soderbergh does this thing where he gets a lot of great actors that want to work with him because he's so good. He did the Oceans movies, Oceans 11, 12, 13.
Yep.
Che, I love Che. You know, he's on so many great films.
The Girlfriend Experience.
Girlfriend Experience. Traffic, Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah.
Both nominated for Best Picture the same year. That's how good he is. This is his last theatrical film for a while. He's taken a hiatus as a film director. So who knows when he'll make another Soderbergh movie will come out in theaters. After this, he's doing an HBO film, because HBO is the only people that would make it, Behind the Candelabra, a biopic of Liberace. And
really?
Yeah, Michael Douglas is going to play Liberace.
What?
And Matt Damon is going to play like his lover of however many years or whatever.
I'm going to have to watch that.
And he said he took this movie, Behind the Candelabra. He's wanted to make it for years. He's taken it around all the studios in Hollywood, the six major studios, with a budget of like, I don't know, $5 million, super low budget. None of them wanted to finance and make the movie. They all deemed it, quote, too gay.
Well, of course.
But it's about Liberace. Right. I mean, what are you going to do, right? Make a non-gay movie about Liberace? And then it shows their closed-mindedness at the studios still, you know, how they run over there and everything's dollar and cents to them. And even a $5 million movie. I think if it's Soderbergh, it's Michael Douglas, people would turn out for it.
I will.
Even like a $15, $20 million overall take is something.
They
won't even back that.
Yeah, I'll check it out just to see Michael Douglas' Liberace.
Well, everyone will be able to check it out because it's going to be on HBO eventually. I don't know if that's this year or next year. So Side Effects is going to be Soderbergh's last in theaters for a while. That's February 8th. And then February 15th, A Good Day to Die Hard, where it appears now that Bruce Willis has confused his John McClane character from Die Hard with his unstoppable character from Unbreakable.
Yeah, because he cannot die, apparently. No matter what, like, I mean, he might get a cut to the face and maybe get shot, but other than that, he's going to survive at the end, and, I mean, yeah.
And now he's going to make quips about it and be joking.
Seriously, now he's like Wolverine. Like, he can take a nuke straight to his head and will just walk away like nothing happened.
It's disappointing. He's gone from a character where in the first film he was pulling pieces of glass out
and
of his feet.
Crying while he was doing it.
Because he felt he was going to die. He didn't think he was going to make it. He was telling someone, tell my wife I love her, all, giving that old speech. Carl Winslow.
Yes.
Who was like, when you're done with Urkel,
so no, I love
tell
it.
My
no.
wife that I love her and I'm sorry.
Every time I watch Family Matters, I imagine that he has just come home from Die Hard.
Every time you watch Family
Matters? Every time.
You watch Family Matters a lot?
Drew is a closet
Family Matters fan.
I'm pretty sure I've seen every episode.
I've seen the VHS tapes under your bed.
I don't have any VHS tapes
marked,
under my bed.
Marked Family Matters. Urkel does this. Urkel goes to camp. He's gone from that to now a guy who like he surfs on the wings of jet fighters and falls away from 60 feet from fireballs and then he gets up and he just does a quip and he's cool and he walks away.
Yeah,
he's a superhero now.
He is.
It's kind of sad. That being said, this one, the last one was PG-13.
Please tell me this one's rated R.
This one's rated R.
Oh, man, I might actually have to watch it.
It is directed by a guy who's made a bunch of horrible films, his best film being Behind Enemy Lines. That's his best movie.
Really wasn't that good.
So, I don't know, man. I don't know about this one. That's coming out February 15th. So those are big movies for February.
All right.
Kind of an anemic month, sort of, because it's only three movies out of all of them.
So, on to March.
March 1st, there's a movie called Stoker. Did you watch the Stoker trailer
I
sent you?
Yes, I did. It
looks crazy.
It looks really weird. Yeah. I mean, it is definitely crazy.
Korean director Chan Wook Park, the guy who did Old Boy. Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, Lady Vengeance, Sympathy for Lady Vengeance. He did a few other crazy movies. Thirst, the vampire movie Thirst. Remember that one? He's a great, great director, and this is his first English language movie with Nicole Kidman. It looks
really good.
It looks pretty crazy. It's like kind of about like a dude who's like, he moves in.
Well, it's like the uncle that just happens to be batshit.
But
is he
an uncle though? Yeah, I don't.
And there's something very wrong with him.
It looks very interesting. I definitely recommend out there checking out the trailer for Stoker. Stoker. That's a weird name. Makes me think of Bram Stoker's Stickler's Dracula. That comes out March 1st. The next week, Oz, the Great and Powerful. That's the Oz prequel with James Franco as the guy who turns out to be Oz.
Uh-huh.
He's a magician who gets sent back to Oz, and there's witches there. They're all good. One of them's concerned bad. I don't know. It's a Sam Raimi movie. So it's the director of all the Spider-Man films, like said, Evil Dead and Drag Me to Hell.
Sam Raimi and James Franco. I'm almost just going to have to see it
just
on that
because
alone.
Just because Mila Kunis is one of the witches.
Now I'm going to have to see it.
Big Mila Kunis
whether it's
here.
At least we'll have a review about it when it comes out.
We will definitely see it and talk about it. The movies I'm really... Well, actually... March 29th, G.I. Joe 2 finally comes out. That was pushed back from last summer.
I mean, I don't want to see it in theaters, but I'll see it.
I'll see it.
I
saw the first one, too. This is a different director, a different creative team, and I was looking forward to it when it was supposed to come out last summer.
Well, yeah, with The Rock and everybody,
The
right?
Rock, and right. But what happened is last summer they decided to push it off to this year, and they said it was to do a 3D conversion, to put it on 3D.
And they still didn't do it?
No, I think they still did it. I think they did it. I haven't noticed any 3D commercials saying it's been in 3D. That's what they said it was for, but really it was so they could do a bunch of reshoots. I think to add more Channing Tatum to the movie.
Because he turned out to be quite popular.
And they didn't use him as much as people wanted, and that turned people against the movie, so they tried to get more Tatum in there. Because he's the popular guy at the moment, you know. So that's going to finally come out at the end of March. We'll see what the hell's up with that. It's probably going to be horrible.
Yeah.
But it is a G.I. Joe movie. It's based on toys. The same weekend, though, the movie I really, really want to see for that month, probably going to be the first very good movie of the year, The Place Beyond the Pines.
Yes, Mr. Gosling, all tattooed up and white trashy.
White trashy. Bradley Cooper, a cop. A super smart guy who likes being a simple policeman, even though his wife is angry about it.
And Mr. Gosling doesn't seem too dumb in this movie either. He seems like quite the intelligent man.
Well, yeah, and it seems interesting. It's about a cop and a criminal who both have young children.
And they're both basically doing the same. I mean, they're doing what they're doing to support
their families. Yeah. And it's a really, really good trailer. From the guy who did this movie, Blue Valentine, which, did you ever see that one?
I didn't, but I know Mr. Gosling was in it as well.
It's Gosling and Michelle Williams, and it's a movie about how it's the night they met each other, and like he wooed her, and they fell in love, and then it jumps to like, that's cross-cut with them 10 years later, maybe even less, like 5 years later, and they hate each other.
Miserable.
They're miserable. He's a drunk. They're both very obnoxious people, and like they're quote, present form, they're very obnoxious to be around. The scenes where he's wooing her and like their first date out together, that's all nice stuff. And it's all very cinema verite, low budget, shot on the streets of like, I forgot where, maybe New York. It's really well made, but it's just a pain in the ass to sit through because they're such annoying people. He's so rats. Drunk. He's such an obnoxious drunk in that movie. He's a good actor. That's how good he was. Yeah. You know? This one looks, it's a crime drama. It looks way crazier. He's got a bigger budget. He's doing a different thing, but still looks very arty.
Yeah, it definitely does.
I'm definitely into that. The Place Beyond the Pines. So that and Stoker, I mean, both coming out in March.
It's going to be a good month.
That is very interesting. Going into April, we did just see the trailer for this, Jurassic Park 3D.
I'm so happy to see this.
April 5th? It doesn't even have to be in 3D. I just want to see it again.
I just want to see it again in theaters.
Yeah.
I mean, even with the digital conversion just to make everything look a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's just, it's going to bring me back.
Classic film.
It's very nostalgic.
Classic film. That's April 5th. The next week, and that one is actually a packed weekend. April 12th. There's 42. That's the Jackie Robinson biopic.
Okay.
That one looks pretty good.
Yeah, we saw the trailer for that.
We did see the trailer for that. There's the Evil Dead remake, which Sam Raimi's producing.
Well, so, at least he's involved.
Right. Heavily involved because it's his thing. So, could be good.
Probably. It's going to be good.
Could be good. And then the next Terrence Malick film, To the Wonder, comes out. That's one in Ben Affleck and Rachel McAdams. They're like, I think they're in love with each other. But
Ben Affleck can't act.
Well, apparently it's a Terrence Malick movie, so it doesn't matter. He just has to stand around in a wheat field and look morose.
while the flies go around.
Yes.
And the wind blows, and there's a tree that.
And it's all shot during
waves.
Magic hour. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes, you know Malick style.
I do. It's really beautiful stuff, even though it can be very boring sometimes.
And apparently, if you feel that way about his films, this one pushes that boring envelope.
Well, I mean, seriously, The Tree of Life was a absolutely visually stunning movie, and it was very deep.
It can
and
drag.
Were,
a lot of people, I know a lot of people that don't like it.
I'm not going to lie. I had to watch it twice because I fell asleep the first time.
There you go. That happens. This one, apparently, there's even less dialogue. Less of an actual like story structure.
Oh man, I'm not even. I'm gonna have to watch it.
Some people have described it as almost being a silent film.
I'm gonna want to see it in theaters just for the viewscape.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be beautiful.
I don't want to fall asleep in the movies here. That is not appropriate.
A couple of cappuccinos beforehand, you're good to go. So that's the second weekend of April. The next weekend is Oblivion, the Tom Cruise sci-fi action movie.
It looks, it's kind of like a post-apocalyptic thing.
There's a few of these after-Earth post-apocalyptic
type things. I'm really into that, so I'm quite interested to see that movie.
Well, then this is your year.
It is.
For that. And directed by a guy at the Tron Legacy, Joseph Kosinski, who he's a great visualist, and he's shown a lot of style.
Everything is very, very white in the movie.
Yes, very... Because he started out as an architect, so that goes to show that he has a very clean style,
yeah.
A lot of strong lines and stuff, you know. That's all his architecture background. And then he turned that into under the guidance of David Fincher, he got into filmmaking.
Nice.
He started as a commercial director. And so now he's got this one. And this is based on a graphic novel that he and another guy wrote and put out.
Oh, really?
So it's based on his own stuff.
Man, as a comic book person, I'm kind of angry that I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Apparently it's not a very popular graphic novel. And then closing out April is Pain and Gain, the Michael Bay true life comedy, action comedy with Mark Wahlberg and Anthony Mackie and Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson.
All as super buff fitness dudes.
Ooh, like kidnap a guy,
and it looks ridiculous.
Based on true story.
But it's Michael Bay, so things are going to be exploding everywhere.
And I'm looking forward to him doing, he's been saying for a while he's been wanting to make a smaller movie in comparison to like the Transformers films.
Yeah.
And this is definitely smaller.
Well, yeah, but there's still
but it still
be
looks
boom.
Bombastic Michael Bay craziness.
That's
you
what
know?
I'm saying. Things are going to be exploding.
I'm a sucker for his style. Boys 2 is ridiculous.
It
so.
Is, but it's so good.
So I'll see any Michael Bay movie. A lot of people hate the dude, but that's what you get for being so distinctive. Okay, going into May. May is traditionally the first weekend of May is the summer season.
So blockbusters?
Blockbusters begin in May and go on for the next few months. So here we go. These are blockbusters of 2013. May 3rd is Iron Man 3.
Saw the trailer. Looks interesting. It's more a more vulnerable Iron Man of sorts.
Well, they got after the Avengers.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
they gotta
I know.
Take it even further.
And I'm really glad to see Sir Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin.
Which is cool.
Which is going to be fun. I can't wait to see just how many rings they bring up in this movie.
They've been subtly building up to the Mandarin.
Yeah.
Now they're going full out with it.
I mean, it's a really good adversary for Iron Man.
And this one is written and directed by Shane Black, who the only other film he's directed is Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with Robert Downey Jr.
I really
and Val Kilmer.
Love.
Fantastic movie. Made his name in the 80s for writing and selling scripts for Lethal Weapon, The Last Boy Scout, and then he wrote The Long Kiss good night, goodbye.
Goodbye.
The long kiss, goodbye.
That was the one with Samuel L. Jackson
And Gina Davis.
Yes.
And that one turned out, all his movies consecutively, they got, as they were made by other directors,
they got worse.
They got further and further away from what he put on the page.
No.
And with that last one, he was like, screw this.
See, The Long Kiss Goodbye was terrible.
Yeah, and he was very disappointed with how little they used of his script. And then by that point, too, he was also a millionaire. Uh-huh. So it was very easy for him to be like, oh, I'm going to walk away and, you know,
yeah, yeah.
Like spend all day smoking weed and lamenting my artistic raping with all my millions.
Yes.
But then eventually he did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and he directed it because for a while he was trying to get something made, and he feels, hey, if you don't like what's up there, at least it's all on me this time around. You know, it's not because of someone else. And then that's the last movie he's made, and then and then he got the Iron Man 3 gig somehow. That's Robert awesome. Downey Jr. must have
pulled some strings
for him, and he got him in. And then his pedigree with the Lethal Weapon and the Last Boy Scout, you know.
Well, as long as they stay true to what he envisioned, it should be a good movie.
I think Jon Favreau stayed on as producer, so that's awesome. Pretty big too. So see how it fits in with the continuity. But yeah, it looks like the most epic Iron Man movie of him yet.
Definitely,
probably the last one with Sir Downey Jr.
Ooh.
And then he'll probably only be back as in the character in Avengers movies after this.
Which is a shame because he is the perfect Tony Stark.
Yeah, but you know, he's getting old, man. They gotta move on eventually. Gotta find a new Stark. Ryan Reynolds. He's every other quick talking action movie. Alright, here we go. Moving on. The following weekend, May 10th, The Great Gatsby, Leonardo DiCaprio, Tobey Maguire. This one was supposed to come out around Christmas.
Yeah.
For a while there, DiCaprio was going to be in The Great Gatsby and
Django
at the same time. Ooh. That would have been weird.
It would have been because they're both very aristocratic characters. Well, I mean, obviously one more voyeur.
Yeah, shown in very different ways. That would have been interesting to see at the time. He's a good actor.
He is.
He's good. But that got pushed off. It's Baz Luhrmann's Great Gatsby, so it's going to be like a lot of modern music. You know, actually, Jay-Z is essentially doing the soundtrack for this movie. There's going to be other stuff in there, but there's going to be a lot of Jay-Z stuff.
You know,
in there.
When I read The Great Gatsby in high school, I did not ever think that Jay-Z music would go along with it. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, hey, well, Baz Luhrmann, William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, also starring Mr. DiCaprio.
Had Radiohead music in a Shakespeare play. I mean, yeah. Come on. The following weekend, May 17th, Star Trek Into Darkness, J.J. Abrams' new Star Trek film.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm not that big of a Star Trek guy, but I will see it.
I'm not a big Star Trek guy either, but this reboot has got me very interested.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, it's Chris Pine, not a Chris Pine fan personally.
I don't like Chris Pine either, but just the fact that they brought back freaking Spock, like the original.
The old Nimoy.
Mr. Nimoy, he was back in the first one.
Shatner wanted to come back, but they were like, no, thank you. Then the following weekend, May 24th, The Hangover Part 3.
Oh, Mr. Trace, where are they going this time?
Apparently there's no wedding, there's no bachelor party. I think they're doing some sort of road movie this time out.
Road trip, getting wasted all over the country, awesome.
Yeah, yeah, Hangover across the country. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles meets Hangover. I'm going to see it.
Of course.
They're the biggest, financially, they're the biggest comedies of all time.
It's really good. It's a really good comedy group. They play off each other well.
I love the Galifianakery. And then also, that same weekend, Fast and the Furious 6. Not sure what they're calling it, Fast 6, Fast and the Furious 6.
Whatever.
Furious
6. Yeah, it's action, sex, and fast cars.
It's more The Rock.
Everything a guy likes.
So I'm not the biggest fan of the series, but the fifth one was fun.
I've seen all the rest of them. I might as well see this one.
Well, yeah, why stop now, buddy? Okay, June 7th, After Earth. Another post-apocalyptic type movie. Will Smith and his son. What's his name? Jaden?
Yes.
It's mostly Jaden's a star. Will's got a small part. But they crash land on a planet that has evolved to kill humans. And then he's like, in the trailer, he's all dramatically like, oh, yeah, by the way, this is Earth.
Yeah.
Womp, womp, womp.
So it's like humanity left Earth, and a couple 100,000 years, we come back, and oh, crap.
Yeah. Oh, crap. They want all the planets want to eat us now. And it's an M. Night Shyamalan film, too, right away.
Well,
which is incredibly interesting.
The trailer is so good. I mean, I like the idea of it. So,
yeah.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Shyamalan does with finally someone as strong politically speaking, behind the scenes, as Will Smith yeah. finally reined this writer-director in, because he hasn't made a good movie in a while.
A very long time.
So Will Smith is going to give him his get-out-of-jail-free card.
Hopefully.
The following weekend, June 14th, Man of Steel, new Superman movie, directed by Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder. I'm a sucker for his directing style.
And Michael Shannon as Zod.
His visuals, his yep. whole everything, it's just,
It should be... I'm looking forward to
it. I'm very much looking forward to it as well.
There we go on that one. That's pretty simple. June 14th, This is the End. This is that weird comedy where it's James Franco, Rogan, Herschel, everybody. McBride, Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's
the end of the world.
It's the end of the world. It's an apocalypse. And I think it's brought on by aliens. Yeah. Maybe it's the rapture. Who knows?
Whatever. They're all just dicking around and being... themselves, which is the funny part.
Yeah, they're all playing themselves.
Yeah.
So it's very meta. Very weird. This is the End. That's a very weird trailer that's out there.
We saw the Red Band trailer in the theater, didn't we?
Yeah, so McBride was just cursing a lot.
Yeah, and talking about the nasty things that James Franco would be doing to people.
Yeah, yeah, to explain all the white stuff on his face. I want to know what was all the white stuff on Franco's face. So that's a weird comedy come out in June. The following weekend is the very troubled production of World War Z.
I saw the trailer and I saw Brad Pitt and I was like, really?
Brad Pitt in a zombie movie.
And then I saw the zombie hordes.
The very CG hordes.
Yeah, totally CG, but it looked more like a pack of ants than zombies. Like, they were crawling on each other, making giant towers to get over walls.
I do how they act like insects.
It's very pack mentality.
But if you've read the book, did you read the book, World War Z?
Never got to it.
It's pretty good, but that one, it's framed as a retrospective of World War Z.
Yeah, it's like journal entries.
It's like journal entries. Survivors. It's interviews with people, different stories of this war against zombies. It looks like they did not go with that narrative approach. They came up with their own thing, sort of maybe pulled from the book, but it looks a little different. I don't know. And then this guy that directed Mark Forster, a German director, not really known for doing action or horror or zombie films. He does stuff more like Stranger Than Fiction, that Will Ferrell movie where he was like a character in someone's book.
Yeah.
You know, he made Quantum of Solace, which wasn't a very good movie, although that was also a writer strike type of deal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But we'll see. It's going to be big. Brad Pitt in a zombie movie. The weekend after that, two movies come out. Roland Emmerich's White House Down. That's one where I think terrorists take over the White House. Jamie Foxx plays the president. And Channing Tatum, I think he's on the Secret Service or something. And he's like trying to get the president out of there or keep him safe or whatever. Yeah. Roland Emmerich's a dude who he's made most of his money with disaster movies, Independence Day, 2012, The Day After Tomorrow, and stuff like that.
Oh, so great. So there's going to be some sort of sappy family story intertwined to the nonsense.
I'm sure it'll be the president, his family, awesome. Jamie Foxx's family.
That's my least favorite part of those movies.
And maybe a tsunami will come in at some point and take everyone out of the White House because he's pretty good with tsunamis. The same weekend, Kick-Ass 2 comes out. Different director, but a lot of the same characters are coming back.
Well, hopefully it'll be as action-packed as the first.
And as fun, as interesting. Yeah. We'll see. Now, it's been a few years since Kick-Ass.
It has.
So Kick-Ass 2 comes out at the end of June. July 5th, Lone Ranger.
That looks really, really good. I'm really surprised that I really want to see this movie because it's Disney and it's the Pirates of the Caribbean.
The first one was good.
Johnny Depp as
Tonto
is
Kemosabe.
He
is part Indian.
I know, but it's almost too perfect.
Almost too obvious.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be kind of a little creepy and a little dark.
He came up with that look, the white and black striped face and the dead bird on his head. He came up with that. He found an old portrait of an Indian dressed like that way, like a shaman Indian.
That's awesome.
And he's like, this is how I want Tano to look. And then, I don't know, it looks way over the top, way ridiculous,
but I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And I do like Gore Verbinski. He made one of the few PG-13 horror films. I really like The Ring remake.
Yes.
Not only is it a remake, not only is it PG-13, you know, he did all of that. It should be terrible, but he made it was even better than Rango,
I think.
I'm a fan. Rango is a great film. you know.
No, Rango was awesome. Oh, man.
So he knows what's up. Verbinski knows what's
Seriously,
up.
That lizard was just Hunter S. Thompson as a lizard.
It was. And then July 12th, Guillermo del Toro's Pacific Rim. Giant robots fighting giant monsters.
Come on. How can you not see that movie?
The trailer features a giant robot punching a monster in the face.
Like I said, I'm sold.
Right.
Completely.
Totally sold. Guys are sold.
Yes.
All guys are sold. Maybe the lady will check in for Idris Elba.
Yes.
You know, that's going to be the trick selling to them. But yeah, that looks fantastic. It's robot jocks meets Gojira.
And the kids are going to be sold too, which means the parents are going to go.
Oh, and it's PG-13. Uh-huh. Oh, man. All the robot toys. Ooh.
Oh, that's going to be. I might have to buy some.
I'm going to have to buy some of those toys and slap some Crespo Diesel stickers on them.
Definitely.
And then have them battle. The weekend after that, you'll be interested in this. Drew the Wolverine comes out July 26th.
Yes. No, this new Wolverine. The last one was. So
horrible,
terrible.
Horrible.
So terrible.
The worst piece of shit ever.
I watched a work copy that I pirated. And
Oh, you horrible person. Cinema Crespo Diso officially does not condone the pirating of films. Drew, continue. That was about this film that you pirated.
And I saw a work print, and even the work print was just god awful.
Well, that was a weird situation.
I couldn't even bring myself to rewatch the movie with all the digital effects.
That was so bad. That was a weird situation where infamously the work print of X-Men Origins Wolverine was leaked online. Somehow it might have been viewed by a couple people on the show. Maybe. I'm not saying it was or it wasn't. But that being said, the only stuff that I was missing was the finalized digital effects. The story was still in place. The characters were in place.
Just the effects weren't there.
And I've actually watched it a couple times on the effects channel because in some ways here and there, it's almost bad enough to be entertaining.
I'm not sure about that.
Like when his claws pop out when he's in the bathroom and he's like, oh man, now I have these claws, and he's like breaking up the bathroom. The claws that were done so well in X-Men 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
They've already have a blueprint for how to make these things look really good, these claws that pop out of his hand. In X-Men Origins Wolverine, they looked like Who Framed Roger Rabbit style animated claws.
Yeah.
Like there were cartoon claws
they
that
really
popped
were.
Out of his hand.
But this new one looks really good. It's Wolverine in Japan. It's
Wolverine
backstory.
Japan. It's
so if they do it right, they shouldn't even be calling him Wolverine or Logan. His name should be Patch.
Oh, well.
It should be.
We'll see about that.
We will.
And now, well, the thing is, too, it is, if I'm not mistaken, this film. Maybe you can look it up real quick, The Wolverine. I just want to double check on this. I believe it's being made by this guy, James Mangold, who he has made a career out of taking very promising films and making merely okay movies out of them. The Wolverine on IMDb. What do you see, Drew?
Hang on. The Wolverine, IMDb. Here we are. It's directed by James Mangold.
The problem with that dude, he directed Copland, which
not
should
good.
Be a fantastic film. I think it's okay.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it. I think it's okay. It should be great. Everything's in place for it to be an awesome movie, and it's just whatever. 3:10 to Yuma, the remake with Russell Crowe and Christian Bale.
That wasn't bad. I enjoyed that.
Right. It wasn't bad. It should have been great.
You're right, it should have been.
But it wasn't bad.
With the talent.
Mangold has a history of taking what should be great movies and turning out something that's not so hot. So,
well, all it has to do is be better than the first one.
Yeah, that which is a very low bar.
Yes.
Very, very low bar, which I'm sure they'll pass easily, no problem. But at one point, this film was being developed by Darren Aronofsky.
Which would have been
amazing.
But
he left the project to do his Noah movie, which itself is going to be great.
I
think that's a 2014 film, so we won't even talk about that right now. The Wolverine, that comes out July 26th, moving on August, the month of August, August 2nd. 300, Rise of an Empire, the prequel to 300. Moving on. I'm not excited about that at all.
Next.
Same weekend, Red 2, the sequel to Red, where the old CIA people, Bruce Willis.
That'll be fun.
It'll be okay. The first one was all right.
Yeah.
It was okay.
That was fun.
So the second one might be okay.
It'll be fun.
Morgan Freeman died in the first one. Spoiler.
Yeah, he'll be back.
No, he won't. Spoiler. Well, he might be back, but he's not announced in the credits. Anthony Hopkins is another old guy.
Okay.
And I think they added someone else.
Interesting.
The weekend after that, I'm looking forward to this film, Elysium. That's the new Neil Blomkamp, the guy who did District 9.
Ooh.
It's his new film in which it's a dystopian future because, you know, what else is cooler than that?
I love dystopian futures.
All the rich people on Earth, they don't live on Earth anymore. They live on a man-made station that orbits Earth.
Sweet.
And then Earth below is ruined, and that's where all the poor people live.
Yeah, yeah.
And Matt Damon plays a guy who is going to try to do something, bring equality between the poor people.
And the rich.
So it's a very, it's a movie about classism. District 9 was very much about classism. Based on the class structure of South Africa, because it's a South African director.
Obviously.
So I'm sure there'll be a lot of similar parallels in this film, Elysium. That's August 9th. And then the rest of August is A Wasteland. So September, September 6th, Riddick. I can't believe they're making more of these.
Well, you know what? I'm not the biggest fan of Vin Diesel, but the Riddick movies are kind of fun.
I like Pitch Black, the first one. Is it Pitch Black or Pitch Dark?
No, Pitch
Black.
Yes,
Pitch Black. I think it's Pitch Black. I really like the first one, a low-budget horror film. Chronicles of Riddick is a horrible.
The video game was fun.
The video game was surprisingly well made. And Vin Diesel was very much involved in the making of it.
And very violent.
Apparently, Vin Diesel is like a sci-fi freak, and he loves this character, and he really, really wants to make these movies. So, and then I think this one is kind of the opposite of Pitch Black. It's about him being on a planet that's permanently dark.
Well, it's really not even about him. He's just kind of a side character.
He's part of a group of people. A group of people are abandoned on a planet where they have like a year-long solar eclipse. And on this planet, there are these creatures.
Evil aliens who eat you in the dark.
And they come out at the dark, right? And it's permanently dark. This one is going to be sort of the opposite, where he's stranded on a planet that's like the sun is permanently out.
Ooh, that's going to mess up his funny vision.
He has that funny vision where he sees great in the dark. He's like a mole person or whatever. I don't know. He'll just wear his goggles. Yeah, we'll see. We got a little deeper into Riddick than I thought we would. That game is great. This is interesting. On September 27th, Cloudy 2, Revenge of the Leftovers. It's a Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs sequel.
Oh, well, I was a big fan of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Call it Cloudy with a Chance of Awesomeness.
It was a visual orgasm.
I love that movie. Visual orgasms, correct. Visual orgasm for the kids. Don't worry, they don't understand what an orgasm is. It's eye candy.
It's just pretty.
It's a gorgeous movie. I'm hoping Cloudy 2.
Yeah, it's just as pretty.
It's different directors.
And I want to see another monkey rip out a gummy bear's heart.
Oh, maybe something even crazier than that. Oh, that was so funny. That was ridiculous. The same weekend, there's a movie coming out called The Tomb. That's a Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger team up.
Ooh.
Where they're both in a prison. One of them has designed the prison, and then they get locked up in it. So they're like, one of them needs the other one to break out of there.
And they're both still very old.
And they're both still old people. So that's coming out the end of September. October, beginning of October 4th, Sin City, A Dame to Die For. Sequel to Sin City.
Is Frank Miller doing anything? So
Frank Miller is co-directing again with Robert Rodriguez.
Okay, well, as long as he's co-directing.
Yeah, he can't be trusted to direct by himself. The Spirit is one of the worst films I've ever seen.
Oh, God, it's so terrible.
The same weekend, Alfonso Cuarón's follow-up, The Children of Men, his first film in 6 years, which is absurd, a sci-fi movie called Gravity.
Interesting.
Starring Sandra Bullock. George Clooney has a small role, and it's about some astronauts on a mission. They're orbiting, whatever, and something happens, a piece of debris, something crashes into their station, and they're stranded in space, and they're trying to get back to Earth after being... I think it's pretty much just Sandra Bullock stranded in space. I think that's all Gravity is,
yeah.
Bullock in space. But it's Alfonso Cuarón. It's Children of Men guy.
That movie was...
Apparently this one's going to like set some... You know, it's going to have crazy, really, really long single shots where the camera, probably digitally, it seems, that never take a cut. It's just a shot that keeps going and going. It's all in space. Probably a lot of floating around.
I'm down.
Looking forward to that. The weekend after that, October 11th, Spike Lee's remake of Old Boy. This remake's been kicking around for a while.
The original was so good.
The original's incredible.
An American remake, I just don't know if they're going to be as gritty.
That's crazy.
And then we've
seen it already. What are they going to do now? Are they going to up the stakes? Are they going to make it even crazier?
Can they? I don't think American audiences would be comfortable with an upping the stakes.
I don't think they would be. Starring Josh Brolin, directed by Spike Lee. I'm going to see it.
I mean, of course I'm going to see it, but I don't know how it's going to be able to compare to the original.
Following weekend, October 18th, is Carrie, the remake of Carrie. Remakes. This one is starring Chloe. What's Chloe Moretz Grace? I think that's her name.
No idea.
That's a Hit Girl from Kick-Ass.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
She's and Julianne Moore is her mom.
Yeah, and she's from the remake of.
Let the Right One In. She's on Let Me In. This one, she's Carrie. So
interesting.
See how that one goes. And then at the end of October, this one is very interesting. October 25th, The World's End. It's a new Edgar Wright movie that it's part of his trilogy with Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
And it's his next movie with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. They're part of a group of guys who are going on an epic pub crawl. And they're going to like their six or seven, like 20 years ago when they were in college, they did an epic pub crawl that ended at the final pub, which was called At World's End. And then 20 years later, they're in their 40s, and they want to do it again. The same guys are going to do the same pub crawl. They're going to get to At World's End. But at the same time, I think the world is actually ending.
Ending?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so
another kind of apocalypse movie. I like
another
those.
Apocalypse movie. You know, people are, I guess, are ready for their world to end. My apocalypse never happened.
Yeah.
So now we can get it in movie form. Speaking of the world ending, November 8th is the next Thor movie. So if the world doesn't end by then, we're all subjected to Thor 2, The Dark World.
Fantastic.
And then also November 22nd is the sequel to The Hunger Games, The Hunger Games Catching Fire.
I caught it on the Redbox. I'll catch the next one on the Redbox, too.
I'm not a fan of The Hunger Games. The first movie wasn't too hot.
It wasn't that good, but, I mean...
This one, the seventh, different
girl,
director.
That girl's really cute.
Jennifer Lawrence is pretty... She's a good actress. I dig her. And then December, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
We will not see that in that
in the 48 frame.
We will not see that in high frame rate.
I might see it just because...
That's fine. You have fun with that. I will not see a movie in high frame rate again.
It's just so weird.
It was... I can't handle it.
I love how weird it is.
It's too real.
It is too real.
It's like
it makes it look like a soap opera.
No, it does, and I can see like the imperfections.
I can see
the
seams.
Costumes.
I can see Gandalf's contact lenses, and he shouldn't be able to see his
exactly.
contact lenses.
It's too good.
December 20th, Anchorman: The Legend Continues. We're doing a sequel to a very good comedy. Comedy sequels are never as good as the original.
Never.
So, get ready.
Check it out.
Get ready to be disappointed, people. And then this one's interesting. December 27th, Jack Ryan, the Jack Ryan character is the guy that Harrison Ford played in Clear and Present Danger,
yes.
And Patriot Games. Alec Baldwin played him in The Hunt for Red October.
Uh-huh.
Ben Affleck played him in The Sum of All Fears, yes. In like 2003. And now in this film, simply called Jack Ryan, he's played by Chris Pine.
Okay.
All right. And it's directed by Kenneth Branagh.
Kenneth
Branagh's Jack Ryan.
Yes, this is Kenneth Branagh's Jack Ryan.
It's follow up to Thor.
Really? Oh,
so
Kenneth
weird.
Branagh's Thor. That guy is.
His career trajectory has lately taken a very interesting turn.
Odd turns.
So he's doing that, and then the same weekend, the very delayed film 47 Ronin. Oh, it's a remake of a Japanese film starring Keanu Reeves, directed by the guy that did that that Absolute Vodka commercial with the Greyhounds, Greyhounds.
That you like so much.
It's a good commercial.
I'm not impressed.
It's a good commercial. It's very kinetic. Very good. I like it. It's good. You don't like it?
I'm not impressed.
Nah, screw you anyway. It's his film. This was supposed to come out, I think, in 2012.
Okay.
The end of 2012. It's another one that got pushed off because apparently it's a horrible mess of a movie. They're
awesome.
Trying to save it. So those are all the movies that have the release dates. I still have 6 more that don't have solid release dates yet, but they should be coming out this year. Upstream Color should be coming out in April. That looks incredible.
It does. Done by the director of Primer, which we talked about earlier as your Netflix pick of the week.
Very good. It was a Netflix pick of the week. He hasn't made a movie since Primer.
Exactly. And it looks to be on the same level. It's very... Very, very colorful.
Very heady.
Very heady. Very meta.
Looks like it's very layered.
Yeah, there's gonna be some odd things going on, but at the end, I'm pretty sure we're all gonna like it.
And on this one, he's doing everything. He wrote it. He's starring in it. Directed it. Editing. lighting. He's even doing the distribution and the marketing. All, so it's all the him. Trailers. It's all him. It's all 100% this dude, Shane Carruth, who he made a big splash with Primer in 04, hasn't done anything since then. He's been trying to get this movie made, this film called Atopiary, that he's described this movie now as this project as the film that he's wasted his life on.
Yeah.
Because he's now 40 years old. He made a big splash. What was that? Six, quick math. So he was 32 when he did Primer. People were like, this guy's incredible. What's his next movie going to be?
Now he's 40.
Now he's 40. And he's doing another very low-budget sci-fi movie that this weekend is playing at Sundance, and it's already the most buzzed-about film and hasn't even played yet. So we'll see about his follow-up. I'm excited for it.
So am I.
April-ish is the release date, the projected release date. We might have to end up seeing it... like on demand or something like that.
Yeah, whatever.
Unless the Enzion wants to get it.
Hopefully they will.
Spike Jones has a movie coming out called Her. The plot is all, it's, everything's under wraps about it. But I just want to note that Spike Jones, director of Where Wild Things Are, being John Malkovich, etc., has a movie coming out this year. Only God Forgives is Ryan Gosling's re-team up with Nicholas Winding Refn, the guys that they did Drive.
Oh, that movie was so good.
So here we go. They're doing another pair together. They also want to do Logan's Run together. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. So that might be their next follow-up. I think there's a rights thing going on with
interesting.
That.
Interesting.
12 Years a Slave is the next Steve McQueen movie. Now Steve McQueen, the actor, is dead. He's been dead for a while, but there is a British filmmaker, artisan filmmaker called Steve McQueen, who his first film, well, his last movie was Shame, the Michael Fassbender is a good. Sex addict movie.
Yeah, that was good.
And the movie before that was another Michael Fassbender movie, Hunger, which is when he played this dude, Bobby Sands, who led a hunger strike in the 70s during the IRA, the Irish Troubles, the Troubles period. Both of them very arty, very good movies. Kind of hard to watch, kind of emotionally distant, but you know.
Yeah.
He's a very interesting filmmaker. And this one, 12 Years a Slave, starring this dude, Chiwetel Ejiofor. I love saying his name. He's the guy from, he was in 2012.
Oh, okay.
The black guy in 2012. Yeah. He plays a dude who, this is during, I guess, pre-Civil War or during the Civil War. He's a northerner, a black dude, obviously, who gets kidnapped. And sent back to the South.
To be a slave.
To be a slave. He's kidnapped and enslaved.
Happened all the time.
And it has the girl from Beast of the Southern Wild, Gwenji Wallace.
Yeah.
She's in it. And I think Macy Gray is in it too. I'm not sure.
She's a weirdo.
So I'm very much looking forward to that one. David Cronenberg's son, Brandon Cronenberg, has a horror film coming out called Antiviral.
Interesting.
There's a trailer out there.
The Cronenberg has a child.
The Cronenberg progeny has his own horror film, a body horror film, following in his father's footsteps.
Of course.
I should have sent you that trailer, too, to watch, because there's one out there. It's about a world in which celebrities, sicknesses, people can buy the sicknesses that celebrities get, and they can share the same sickness, so
awesome.
They can feel... one
crappy.
With them, as crappy as them, so they feel it's a weird setup.
Yeah.
But it's played at a bunch of festivals. It's supposed to be very crazy and kind of hard to watch and graphic. If you're into that type of stuff, that type of horror,
yeah.
I'm
down.
I'm really just interested because he's a Cronenberg.
No, exactly.
And then finally, the Coen brothers have a movie scheduled to come out sometime
nice.
This year called Inside Llewellyn Davis, and it's about the 60s folk music scene in New York City.
Ooh, that should be interesting.
It should be interesting. Oscar Isaac, the guy from In Drive, he's the one that gets shot after the pawn shop. He goes into the pawn shop to steal the money and gets shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's in Sucker Punch,
yes.
And he's been popping up a lot lately.
Yeah.
I think he's the lead. I think he's the Llewellyn Davis character.
All right.
And it's Coen Brothers, you know. I mean,
they're good. They're great.
I'll see everything that they make, everything and anything. I rewatch Intolerable Cruelty on the HBO.
Oh, it's so much fun! And that movie really is. Those people are intolerably cruel to each other.
It's better than I remembered being.
Yeah,
I wasn't too big on it
when
it came out.
Nobody liked it. I think I was the only person who liked it when it came out.
I think it's better. I think it's better than I give it credit for. I think it's now it makes me want to rewatch The Lady Killers because I didn't like that one.
Yeah.
And those are the only two Coen Brothers movies I never really liked. But yeah, maybe I should rewatch them. So there you go. Those are your 50 movies of 2013 to look for.
That's a lot of movies.
And that's not. I mean, there's even more. There's going to be even more movies that are coming out this year.
I'm sure we'll be talking about them too.
We got a long year ahead of us, dude. Long year ahead of us. So, hey, that's the end of the Crespo Dome, and that brings us to the end of the show. If you're still listening, appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You can remember, check us out on Twitter at Crespo Diso. I'm at Movie Examiner. Drew.
I'm at Antihero 419.
Get him to tweet people. He loves Twitter. He just doesn't know it yet. We're at Facebook. Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Got a ChrisCrespo.com will be up momentarily. And it's going to be awesome. I believe that's everything. Thank you. Thank you very much for listening. Drew, thank you for sitting in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate it. And yeah, well, that's it. We'll see you guys next week for episode 3, Return of the Jedi. Until then, peace out.